The Morning Rush Podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.
Broadcasting live from the Toyota Studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio.
Yes, talk radio.
So boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
hitthatline.com.
I got that wood.
This is The Morning Rush.
Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
I don't mind cigarettes being inside.
Tommy Kraft.
Their parents were acting a fool in the bleachers at the boys' club.
And Nick Mason.
Do as I say, not as I do.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
Welcome in to the Morning Rush on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. Appreciate everybody listening today. Yeah. Tommy Kraft.
You all right?
Mason back in studio. And John Neighbors.
Yeah.
As we're coming to you live from Clay Maxey, Kawasaki.
Yeah, glad to be here on a Friday in Harrison, America. And we're going to be telling you about Clay Maxey Motorsports all morning long. And invite you to come by. Here's the thing you need to know more than anything. We got hot donuts.
That's right.
If nothing else, come by and get you a hot donut because before we eat them all. Do me a favor and come eat some of these so I don't eat them all.
Yes, because if you do, then Tommy's going to have to work out about three extra times
today. You may have to drive the car home so I can just run behind the car all the way back to the River Valley. So.
Well, I would like to see you try to do that. You are a professional runner at this point now that you're
official. Professional.
But it's not the off-season. It's never the off-season.
There's never an off-season. No. Jason and the crew are here this morning. Glad we're here on a Fastball Friday. And boy, we got a lot to get to here today.
Yes, we got
football. We got a Hog baseball victory last night to talk to. I talk about, and a lot going on here today.
Yes, there is. And, in fact, if you want to start off with Arkansas Razorbacks winning last night in Game 1 against the Ole Miss Rebels, we've talked about it all week long about how big of a series this is to kind of bounce back from the Florida loss. And, you know, there's just so many good things about this baseball team, but yet there's still some things that they've yet to find any type of consistency. They get the hot starts, but can they really take it to that next level in a lot of these games? And they found a way to kind of chip away. They got the hot start against Ole Miss. Ole Miss made a comeback a little bit, tied it up, but in the end, Arkansas gets the win 6-4. And if you're the Razorbacks, you got to feel good about your chance, because let's be honest, anytime you're playing in a series like this one, where it's a top five, top ten, depending on which poll you look at, you get game one, win that one while on the road. It just sets it up nicely to where you, okay, now you're in position. Now, obviously, against Florida, they had the same situation, didn't work out for them, but you're thinking that maybe they have made the right adjustments, especially on the pitching side of things going into game two with Evan Lee, that maybe, just maybe, they'll be able to at least take game two, maybe even game three. I don't see this team sweeping them, but they just seem like they are going to be able to make some maneuvers and some adjustments to be able to win that one out.
Well, I mean, obviously you want to win on Friday. It's your best pitcher. You feel like you're in your best position to win on Friday. When the rain happened early in that game, you're like, man, you – and Phil was talking about this on the radio broadcast. We were listening to Phil in the broadcast on the way over here. They had a brief rain delay early in the game. In fact, by the time they pulled the tarp, it had quit raining. And you were concerned about Blaine Knight and would he be able to come back following the delay. And you didn't want this delay to linger on because Blaine Knight was your best shot. And then you're up 4-0. You come back, you give up a home run. And before we can get our bags out of the car, it's 4-4. You know, and now you're in a dogfight here. And this was a team that has showed some scrappiness, showed some resilience, went to the bullpen. And Cronin was able to get the job done at the end for this baseball team, and I like where they're at. Now, I'm with you. At home, I trust this team can do anything.
Of course.
On the road, they haven't shown you the ability that you wanted to get that Friday night win because you feel like, hey, that's our best pitching. You know, Knight gives you another great start, and then, you know, you want to be able to go and try to win one of these last two and win the series. You kind of feel like, man, if you – you don't trust the fact that you could go win Saturday and Sunday in most series, or in this case Friday and Saturday, the final two games of the series, to win a series. But I wouldn't count this team out for anything. I like the fact, though, if they can win one of these next two, today or tomorrow, they'll be 6-3 in conference play. They're going to be in a great position after three weekends. And you look and say, what? You got still four home series left.
Right.
So, I mean, I really like where this team's going to be headed. And with the schedule, it has to soften up, right? You've played number four, number two, number four.
Worse.
Who is left? So, I mean, it's just that's the SEC. But I like the way that the schedule is going to be more home heavy moving forward, just, you know, based on the fact of they've already played two of the first three on the road.
Yeah, and if they're able to, in their first three SEC series, obviously you let the Florida one slip away, but if they're able to go 2 of 3 in those series against top five, top 10 matchups and competition, I mean, it just, you feel like Dave Van Horn's team start to play their best baseball towards the end of the season.
Yep.
And if they're playing this good in the kind of the midway point of the season, especially early in the conference season, then what's in store for them going forward? Are they going to just improve to get better, which, again, sets them up perfectly for the postseason? Maybe they can win the SEC. We'll feel like if they win a couple of these series and they keep playing this way, then they'll probably host some regionals, maybe a super regional.
Yep.
Make a trip back to Omaha, because that was really the expectation going into this season, considering all the players they had coming back, the type of recruiting that they've done. And it would just seem like it would be a perfect topper to this school year, if you want to call it that, yeah, for our University of Arkansas.
Yeah, we listened to the game some on the radio, and then was watching the game on my iPad last night. And I wasn't taking a lot of, you know, game notes on this thing, but, you know, we talked about timely hits, but sometimes it's a timely defensive play, and there was one and maybe two. I know there was one. Sometimes it's that timely DP, that timely double play that gets you out of a situation. And Arkansas had some timely defensive plays late in that game last night that got them out of some jams. And, you know, if there's anything that you worry about, and Arkansas's had some issues with defense over the last few seasons, but I thought they had some very timely defensive plays last night in that game that got them out of some innings, that squelched any kind of rally. And when it's 6-4 and they're getting the first guy on, and to lead off an inning, and then you can get out of that inning with a timely strikeout, or in a couple of cases a timely double play. Boy, that's huge for this team right now, and it just throws cold water right on their campfire.
Can we talk about how much crap it is that the fact that this game was not on the SEC network, instead they were playing LSU and Mississippi State?
Yeah, and you know what? I'm sure every fan base feels that way, because there's so many ranked teams in this league. But you're exactly right.
You got five matchup.
I don't understand that. And maybe someone needs has a better grasp and feel of the technology. You've got the SEC network and you got the alternate channel, but you also, and I know ESPN has the ability to split broadcast across geographic regions.
Yeah.
But you're exactly right. Why do you have, in the last couple of weeks, they've done it this way. They've moved some things around with ESPN and the SEC network to get some of that Florida series on. But why are you setting some of these series up so far in advance when you've got number four and number, what was it, six last night?
Yeah.
I guess Arkansas is last week. That should be the series on TV, and not just because we're Arkansas. That's the best series in the conference right now, not number 21 LSU and unranked Mississippi State.
Yeah, no one wants to see that. I mean, just imagine if it was anything like that in any other sport.
But here's my point, and I'm definitely speaking about something I don't know enough about. Welcome to the Morning Rush.
That's right.
They've got this SEC alternate channel, right? And it's there for when you need, you know, to put on an extra game, and you've got all these early season football games. Why can't we be putting some of these baseball games on there based on zip code, based on area code, based on states? Why can't they put the Arkansas-Ole Miss game on the alternate channel in Arkansas and Mississippi? Or half of, you know, they don't even need it on in half of Mississippi, because they got the SEC network here, the Mississippi State game last night.
Yeah. And they're already there.
I know they have
filming the game.
It's digital technology. But the reason they don't do it is they want you logging in.
Yep.
And getting those clicks, they can measure. You know, there's a reason why they don't do some of these things. And they're not selling a lot of ads, as you notice by the same ad running over and over.
The Addiction Network.
Right. So You know, so that financially probably doesn't make sense for him, but from the listener or from the viewer perspective, it'd be much more enjoyable. So.
It would be. And like, we're sitting there last night at the hotel, trying to watch the game, and we have to bring out our iPad, mm-hmm. you know, to actually watch the Razorback game. And
yeah, we start with my iPhone, and I'm getting way too old for that, so I had to go get an iPad. Yeah,
I had to get the big screen out to try to watch the game. But no, when we're sitting there and you just see, it doesn't make sense as far as, you know, those types of games. Because, again, just imagine if that was in football, where you had Alabama and LSU, which was a number one versus a number four, and that's not on the most broadcast, most high, big-time channel.
They don't leave it to chance in football. That's why they set the games, you know, as small as a seven-day window. In baseball, they've already got the TV schedule set out. Well, I mean, if you got number six versus number four, that's the game that needs to be on, but that's not how they do it.
No.
You know?
No, that's why.
And it's because baseball's not a money sport.
No,
that's,
it's not. But it's still if you're going to be playing baseball anyways, you feel
when
like
all
you
these
wanted,
games are televised yeah. one way, shape, or form yeah. as it is.
Yeah, so you're going to be televising it. Why not just come back and have your top five yeah. matchup, make it good.
So hey, if you're in Boone County, you're in Harrison, you're headed from Mountain Home over to Harrison this morning. If you're just in the north central part of the state, come by and see us. Highway 6265, just south of the Come and Go in Harrison. We're at Clay Maxey Motorsports. You'll notice a black Yukon out front that says ESPN 104.3.
Can't miss it.
Can't miss it. So come on by and say hello. We got big deals on Hustler Mowers. It's their spring sale going on, 0% financing for 48 months. I'll tell you what Jason's going to do. He's going to give you a free Yeti Roadie 20 cooler. This isn't a tumbler or a cup. This is a cooler. You're going to get a Yeti cooler when you purchase a Hustler mower. So if it's spring season and you remember that mower of yours last year just really, you know, being on the fritz or you knew you were going to have to get some work done on it before next year, why not just get rid of that thing and come get you a new one from Jason over here at Clay Maxey? So they'll get you that. He's bringing one out. Maybe we'll get a picture of that up. But it gets you a free Yeti cooler. They've also got some remaining 2017 Kawasaki side-by-sides. They're closing out at some unbelievable deals. So they're here. I think I got this right. The Hustler rep's going to be here about 7 o'clock. So might be able to con him out of something, too.
Yeah,
so,
there you go.
Come
yeah.
on by. But I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll get you a donut. I can guarantee you that.
We got plenty of donuts for you.
Jason hooked us up. He went by and got, I think, every donut they had at Daylight Donuts when they open. And they are hot, they are gooey,
yep.
and they are delicious. And if someone doesn't come eat these,
then Tommy's going to eat them.
We may eat them.
Well, yeah, no, don't put we in that. I'm not going to eat. I can't. Listen, I am trying to watch my girlish figure. And if I eat more than one donut, I'm going to end up being, you know, looking like somebody I don't want to look like. You know what I'm saying?
So, you're already there.
Yeah. Appreciate everybody listening in. We're going to continue a conversation, obviously, bring up baseball. Also, some spring football. There was some of the players that were able to meet with the media yesterday, as well as some coordinators. We'll have some audio from that. And also, I want to bring up the quarterback situation, because that's really what it's all about. And that's what people want to hear about, is who's going to be QB1. Yeah. for the Razorbacks this season. Because if you really think about it, how has it been since we had a legit quarterback competition at Arkansas? I'm talking because you had Austin Allen was the guy. There was mm-hmm. no question. Brandon mm-hmm. Allen was the guy. There was no question.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Wilson was the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe that one little window when it was between Ryan Mount and Tyler Wilson back in like 2009, where they both played in one half against, I think it was Missouri State. But even then,
that was for... because Petrino was pissed at Mallett.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So even
that
then, it wasn't really
competition.
Legit. So it's been a long time since yeah. Arkansas has had a legit quarterback situation where you have two guys, and it's not like we're just hearing coach speak of who's playing or whatnot. But we're going to get into that as well. We'll also bring in some Final Four talk because that is going on this weekend, and I'm hoping it lives up to the hype because the tournament's been great. So maybe it'll live up to it as well. But we'll get to all that and a lot more. This is the Morning Rush.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Broadcasting live from the Toyota Studios.
John!
just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
So boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
HitThatLine.com. I got that wood.
This is The Morning Rush.
Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Am I wrong? Because I want to get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
I don't mind cigarettes being inside.
Tommy Kraft.
Their parents were acting a fool in the bleachers at the Boys Club.
And Nick Mason.
Do as I say, not as I do.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
1 hour down, 2 hours to go. Appreciate everybody listening in on this beautiful day here in the great state of Arkansas. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, live from Clay Maxey Motorsports here in Harrison, Arkansas. It's been a great time.
Yeah, sun's getting up, and you can come by and say hello this morning here at Clay Maxey. And glad to be in Harrison again. We've been spending a lot of time up here lately in North Arkansas doing some live Morning Rush on location shows. So glad to be here, and our first time at Clay Maxey Motorsports. So you know, it's that time of year. I'm one of these guys. Mowing my grass is not one of those things that I want to do. I was forced to do it as a kid. I always swore if I could
you've retired if I from
could,
mowing grass.
If I could ever get to, I would rather go earn the money doing something else and pay someone to mow the grass. But hey, there's some people in our neighborhood that is their pride and joy.
They want it done the way they want it done,
and that's like their, you know, therapy or whatever. Their mental recess is to, you know. So if you're looking for a good mower, they got them here. But that's one thing that that's not my deal is the landscaping and the edging and the trimming. But hey, some people, they love that stuff.
God bless you then, because I'm not one of those people.
I'm not either.
I'd rather have somebody else do it for me and do it the right way. So that way, if something goes wrong, I can yell at somebody.
It's my way of helping the economy.
That's right. You know, you're just trying to get people some jobs and help out somebody.
It's so exactly
no,
right.
Yeah, no, totally get it. Totally get it. So we're broadcasting.
It's a time
here.
Thing, too.
Yeah, I mean, so, who has time to do
so
that?
I'm thankful that there are people that do that for a living, you know?
Yeah, same here. I mean, it really... really works out.
And
so
come by and see Jason. I know there's a lot of guys listening that do that for a living, and a lot of commercial landscapers and commercial mowers that listen. So if you're in the Boone County area, Marion County, Baxter County area, swing by and say hello this morning here at Clay Maxey. They got some special deals on Hustler mowers we'll be telling you about, including 0% financing for 48 months. They also got some Kawasaki side-by-sides. They only got 5 2017 models remaining. And they got some super big deals on the 2017s they got left, including one of these that was like right around 11 grand. So we'll talk to Jason here in about 20 minutes and hear some more about that.
I wanted to bring up Cole Kelly, who was meeting with the media yesterday. It's really been one of the few opportunities, or the first opportunities, rather, of the media getting to meet with Cole Kelly, and he had an apology to all the Razorback fans and Razorback Nation in general about his suspension and his arrest that happened previously. And, you know, that was one of the things, too, that is kind of a bad topper to the season of what was going already in turmoil. And then your quarterback who had played so well and people had really rallied around, of course, you know, got arrested, got suspended and all that. So he's trying to rejuvenate himself a little bit, his image a little bit, trying to get back and working hard back into the fold of things. And, you know, to see something like that, and it's kind of one of those awkward transitions, too, where you go from having Brett Bielema and Chad Morris, and Chad Morris comes in and knowing that, one of my quarterbacks maybe starting for this team this year. He just recently got arrested and suspended. So, you know, I mean, am I the ones that going to have to punish him, or do we just say, hey, you know what? Let's make this right. Let's get you back and get your image back, and let's go on the right path here.
It's one of those things, quote unquote, in your personnel file.
Yep.
It's one of those things you got to explain to the new boss or head coach. It's one of those things that, you know, I'm sure he's, you know, would rather not have to be talking about. But it shows maturity. It shows, you know, that you're growing up and being an adult when you are able, and it shows humility.
That's right.
When you can come in front of the media and talk to the fans and say, I'm sorry, I take personal responsibility for my actions. And, you want to not just say you're sorry, but also live up to the fact you're not going to do it again. So,
yeah.
Those are all things that I think you've got to be able to display and things you've got to be able to do in order to personally grow from it, because we've all made mistakes. let's just be honest, most of us have made that mistake, and a lot of us have just been fortunate enough not to get caught. And some of us have been caught doing it. So, you know, we've all been in college, all been that age, and just, you know, made stupid mistakes. He's not the first. He won't be the last. But you got to realize it, and then you got to have the humility and the personal responsibility to be able to deal with it. And, you know, for most of us, we just didn't have the situation where we were the quarterback at the University of Arkansas, yeah. So no one cared when we messed up. Yeah. When you're the quarterback and you're on the football team, everybody cares. And that's the thing where, you know, you're not going to get away with it, you know.
Well, and it makes you just as a fan of the team that you're watching. There's just something about having a quarterback with a big personality, too, that makes it that much better if they're good. Because if you have personality but you're not a good quarterback, then no one really cares.
Well, I mean,
but if you can add that to it, it really helps out and makes it more just relatable and makes fans root for them a little more. Because I feel like Cole Kelly definitely has the personality.
And let's be honest, I mean, this doesn't make what happened with him last year any better.
No.
But if it had been a 9-win team versus a 4-win team, it's just be honest, it's viewed differently by the fans. It doesn't 100%. Make what he did any more right or any less wrong.
Right.
But the way all of the perception of him and that situation, that was just like one more dagger in Bielema at that point.
Yeah.
That he didn't need. And it's just one more thing Cole Kelly didn't need in all of this transition for him now either. So, but you know, to me, it just shows maturity and personal growth to do that. I don't know if, you know, if that was something he wanted to do, something he was coached to do, or it's just how that all came about. So
I don't really know either. Or, you know, let's be honest, as a college kid, especially when you're QB1, as it's called, there's just added, not pressure necessarily. Well, there is pressure there, but it's just almost like you're the big man on campus.
Well, you are.
And you walk around, and especially a guy like Cole Kelly, who stands out.
I mean, he's 6'7".
Kind of stand out a little bit. You know, you just start kind of saying you feel not invincible, but you feel like, man, I run this place. I can do whatever I want. I can go out and have fun. I can be the social celebrity. You know, I have all these girls coming up to you. You just start getting into this mode of, like, you can do no wrong. And then when you mess up, it's something that you have to really work hard to get back on track to. But I think he's doing the right things. And it seems like he's, you know, he didn't transfer out when Chad Morris came in, even though a lot of people wondered, hey, how is a 6'7", 260-pound quarterback going to work with a coach that has a fast-fueled, high-tempo offense that, you know, may not really fit his athleticism? How is he going to work out there? So people thought maybe he'd transfer out. But, you know, he's putting it together. And what I mean when I was talking about the personality aspect, if you think about some of the great quarterbacks just across the country, even whether it's Heisman Trophy winners or whoever, Johnny Manziel, I couldn't stand the guy, but I watched him. And it was fun. And
why?
Against him. Because he was entertaining. Because it was fun to watch.
Because he was exciting, too. And any time he had the ball in his hands, anything might happen.
That's
he may throw it 50 yards downfield, and it could be a touchdown. He may run it 70 yards down. Anything could happen.
Mm-hmm. And not only that could happen. And then after the play's over, anything can happen.
The money signs.
He would do that. And so,
it was entertaining.
That's
was exciting.
That's right. And even quarterbacks that weren't the type of personality like Johnny Manziel, like Tim Tebow, you know, he had a personality where he was on the field. He was such a, you know, going 110% all the time, had this attitude, had this absolute personality where he was just so aggressive. And you know, people watch that and people appreciate it. He'd get up and do the gator chomp, and he'd get up and start to get everybody pumped up. That just, if you're a good quarterback and you can add that extra personality, not to say that, you know, you have to have that, because I'm sure people would rather take a quarterback that's really amazing with no personality than a quarterback that's just okay with a great personality. But when you have that, you get people to root against you. You're box office. People want to come see you. And even if the team's not great, they want to watch you. They want to watch you on television. They want to get all that. And, you know, if Cole Kelly ends up being the guy for Arkansas and he ends up being really good, that's also a great marketing tool for the university, is to be able to have somebody with personality after, you know, post-game press conferences, where he comes out and he starts, you know, he has that little accent a little bit and he starts having fun, he starts feeling himself. It just flows really well, and I think that's something that fans could really attach onto.
Well, I mean, people can connect with that. They can relate to it. They can understand it a little better. And that was the one thing, even with Ryan Mallett, fans – you know, because I compare those two a little bit. A, they weigh the same number, both 15, and then
about the same size.
Same size. So there's some similarities to them. So that's why I bring Mallett up. But Mallett, when he spoke to the fans and did that through the media. It just, I don't think it came through in a way that, that fans could relate to always. So I think Cole probably does a little better job with that.
Well, because with Mallett, he was very confident, you know, which is, you want that in your quarterback. But he was also almost to the point where, you know, it turned off some people just about how confident he was. But with Cole Kelly, I think there's confidence there too. But you get the vibe. He just loves playing football. He just enjoys playing football. He has fun playing
football.
I always get
the sense he enjoys life.
Yeah, exactly. He just he's just one of those guys that, you know, when he comes, he never seems like the type that, you know, will start going on the sidelines and start hammering his helmet on the ground when he starts making bad plays and stuff. He just doesn't have that vibe. He has a vibe of, hey, I'm having fun. I'm going to work hard, but I'm confident in my own abilities to where I don't have to worry about what anybody else is doing. As long as I do my thing, I'm going to enjoy life. And that's, again, you talk about relatability. That's what people want to see. And Arkansas quarterbacks, just, and if you take this in this millennium, there's not a lot of those types of quarterbacks that, you know, had that type of personality. You know, Matt Jones was very, you know, nonchalant, kind of laid back. The Allen brothers, of course, that, you know, they were
different personalities.
They were different personalities, but it was nothing that, you know, really truly stood out to a lot of people. Of course, Ryan Mallett's personality, Tyler Wilson. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. But personality adds a little flavor, adds a little extra entertainment. And with an entertaining style of football, if you can add a personality to it too, it's going to make everybody want to come and see the game.
Yeah, and you got a different personality in your head coach versus the previous head coach in Bielema, who would gregarious, would say, would just about say anything. And
never knew what he was going to say.
Chad Morris, a little more reserved, not quite as out there with the personality. It's just different. And I get everything you're saying there. So
it just seems like a nice welcome change. So from going from Bielema to Chad Morris, at least from the fans' perspective.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But.
Yeah. Anyway, best part of our Fastball Friday. Talk a little football on a Fastball Friday. Brought to you by Harry Robinson Buick GMC. 2018 Buick Envisions right now. Big discounts of over $8,800. Also, big discounts on Sierra trucks. Over $10,000 right now off on professional grade Sierra trucks. Fully loaded. Tons of options and plenty in stock right now on 2018 GMC Sierras. And don't forget, you can buy those Buick Encores. Lowest price ever. As low as $14,980 at Harry Robinson Buick GMC, exit 11 off of I-540 in Fort Smith.
Broadcasting live from Clay Maxey Motorsports here in Harrison, where they're having a lot of great deals going on. I'm still looking at these side-by-sides, and I'm trying to decide if I want one. Or actually,
I'm trying to figure out where you'd put that at your apartment.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'd probably have to move my dog's kennel.
Yeah.
At some point, you know, maybe.
How'd you get that up the stairs? I'm trying to figure out how you get that up the stairs.
You drive it up the stairs. That's
that would that wouldn't be the problem. That would go straight up the stairs.
You don't have to worry about that. But hey, I'd find a way. I would find a way to have that in my apartment and make it to where I could drive it around. Hey, I could drive it to work even. I'm not too far from the office.
No, that'd work perfect.
Yeah,
it'd work perfect.
One of those awesome things. With all the stuff going on this weekend, be sure to stop by Sassy's in Fayetteville. Two different locations. Some of the best barbecue you'll get in town. Great fried pickles. I plan on going up there again next weekend. The weekend after that, because the spring game's going to be there. But I'm going up there, and I've already told all my friends that we're going to Sassy's. Because they haven't been in a while. I haven't been in a while. We're going to make it happen. So we're going to go up there. But
Location? College or?
I think we got to go the old tried and true on college. You know, that's the original one that's been up there. So we got to head over there. We're going to be hanging out as well. And there's all the sporting events going on. Razorback baseball. You got the Final Four. You got everything this weekend. You can check it out at Sassy's Barbecue in Fayetteville. Two locations off Weddington and off of College. Stop by and see them this weekend. Coming up next, we're going to continue our conversation talking spring football, get into the Razorback baseball team and their series against Ole Miss, as well as some Final Four conversation as well. Stay with us. This is the Morning Rush live.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
On air and streaming now on hitthatline.com. This is the Morning Rush.
Welcome back into the Morning Rush, broadcasting live here from Clay Maxey in Harrison. Appreciate everybody listening in on this beautiful day in the great state of Arkansas. I want to get back into the Razorback baseball team and the fact that they were able to take game one against Ole Miss last night, 6-4. And what it just, it's kind of had the similar vibe to the Florida game in the first series where Arkansas got off to a hot start, ended up scoring the majority of the runs earlier in the game. Ole Miss did make a little bit of a comeback, but it was too little too late. So Arkansas taking game one on the road. Hopefully the rain holds off. You mentioned the delay that it had there, Tommy, for about 5 minutes, one of the shortest rain delays you'll ever see.
We were listening to Phil describe this early in the game. Arkansas had a 4-0 lead at this point. And you're thinking, man, this thing is going great. And then the umpires halt the game, and they go out and pull the tarp, and as they get the tarp pulled, the rain stops.
Yeah, and you hear Phil.
And Phil's describing this, and he's like, the players are standing there with holding the straps and the grounds crew, and they're like, they don't know whether to continue to pull the tarp, whether to completely unfold it, whether to roll it back up. No one knows what to do because you're out here and you're tarping a field that
has no rain,
and there's no rain on it anymore. You've already waited too long at this point, so it's one of them quick showers. And fortunately, the delay didn't last long because Blaine Knight had some good stuff early, and you didn't want the delay to last so long that you were going to lose your starter.
Yeah, it definitely throws you in a loop if it ended up being the case. But hopefully that the rain and the storms this weekend hold off for the series to continue to take place. But with Arkansas baseball and what they're going, first off, going to Ole Miss, which Ole Miss, I was trying to just think off the top of my head. They're a really good team, but I wouldn't consider them to be one of those SEC teams that are making it to a bunch of College World Series, and I think like the LSUs and Arkansas and Floridas or Vanderbilts or anything like that. But they have a really good, really good team, and they have a really, really cool atmosphere to their stadium as well with the beer showers out in the outfield. I don't know if I would want to sit out there in the outfield because, listen, you know, if everyone wants to have a couple adult beverages out there in the outfield or in the big pen that they have, that's fine, whatever. But I don't know if I want to get showered in beer. Mm-hmm. When a home run is hit, that's just me. Maybe I'm weird like that, but they have a really great atmosphere out there too, and a really cool one. So if Arkansas is able to go in there and win this series, I don't think anyone's expecting them to sweep Ole Miss. But if they can get the victory today and just call it good and know that they are going to get out of there with a series victory on the road, I'll be curious to see. You know, first off, how much they move up because beating the number four team, which was what at least most of the outlets I've seen have Ole Miss at number four, able to beat them in their place, it would move up Arkansas a little bit, and it wouldn't be nice for them to kind of just basically forget about that Florida series and move on and really hit their stride. And with their next big one coming up is Auburn.
Well, obviously, it's obviously going to depend on what you do, you know, today and tomorrow.
That's right.
If you can win one of these next two, you ought to be firmly in everybody's top five. Everyone, and that's the thing with baseball. There's so many polls, but I guess you pay attention to the one that's got you ranked the highest.
That's right.
But that's what we do as fans. But yeah, I mean. This is such a murderer's row, as we've talked about. You've played number four, then number two, and then number four again this week. You're number six this week. You've been as high as three or four, depending on the poll you look at. The RPI is just going to be just unbelievable
through the roof
for this team. So, yeah, it's then you got, like I said, Auburn coming up for this team. So they've only used one weekend at home out of the five. You get five home conference weekends. They've only played one at this point. So, they've still got a heavy home schedule still to come with four home weekends still left after completing their third weekend series this weekend. So
got a lot of season, though, that's for sure.
But today and tomorrow are critical, for this team. And if you can find a way to win one of these next two, you're 6-3 after nine of your 30 games.
Not bad.
With, let's see, what did we say, four home weekends, so 12 of your remaining 21 at home.
I mean, you can't beat that as far as the start goes.
You're just in a good position. You just got to keep playing. You just got to keep playing at a high level. And I still think, based on what Dave is saying, and that's where we take our cues, is what the guy that knows is saying, they're still not 100% with their arms and their rotation and getting everybody healthy. And you got Campbell out, and you got guys with some soreness and guys that are not back from Tommy John surgery and guys that just aren't there but might be there. And if this thing all times up and everybody's right where you need them to be health-wise on the staff, and you're still hitting the cover off the ball in late May, this team's got potential. This is a team good enough to win the whole thing.
Yeah.
You just got to play your best baseball at the right time.
Yeah. And I think that they're going to end up doing that because, again, with Dave Van Horn teams, they always play as the season goes on. But you're just kind of asking and posing the question, is Dave Van Horn the best coach on the University of Arkansas campus right now in all sports? It's not even a question. Now you have the track coaches who have had a lot of success, and I get that. But it's just when you look at it as far as the consistency, the high level, the high talent that he brings in, the guys that translates into the majors and the type of players that you've had there, it's just I feel like he solidified himself. He's the best coach there on that campus.
You mentioned the track program, the consistency there. I mean, to me, the consistency is what you're looking for in any other sport. And baseball and track have both. I don't know how to, you know, I don't know enough about track. Let's be honest. what those guys have done. I mean, we know they're consistent. We know they win a lot of titles. And what McDonald built there was a great foundation, you know, for what they're doing now. But you know, what Dave has done with the baseball program has just been so impressive because of the consistency. Other than the 1 year they missed the tournament, you know, they make the tournament every year. They're competitive every year. You would give anything to be this kind of consistent in football or basketball. And that's what you're looking for in all your sports is to consistently be in the hunt for the conference title, and be relative nationally like this program is consistently. And I mean that's the thing I admire most about this baseball program is how consistent they are year in, year out.
It's impressive. I mean, when you think that this may be a down year, it seems like those are the years where Dave Van Horn does his best coaching job, and they end up making the World Series.
A down year is like not making a super regional.
Yeah,
you know, that's a down year.
And that's not hosting. Arkansas used to have that in basketball, so maybe if you want to have a little parallel there, they used to have that. But what he's just done, and he's not leaving. That's the thing. This is his school. I mean, this is where he played. He's not going to leave. It's not like he's waiting for another job. So as long as he can keep up this consistency, I mean, he will be a legendary coach
for
years to come. Yeah, he already is. But if he can find a way to win a College World Series to, you know, be the pinnacle, then, I mean, my goodness, build him a statue. Put it out in front of Baum.
He has already built the foundation. I mean, I just really believe he is going to win a College World Series. The problem in this sport is, and you just got to have so much luck go your way. You've got to have the right pitchers at the right time, be up in the rotation, not have a rain out, not have an injury. And I know there's some truths to that in other sports, but in baseball, you may end up in the third game of the championship series, but you're not going to have Blaine Knight because he pitched, game one or what. You know, that's just the difference in baseball versus the other sport. You'd never go play in the college football playoff without your quarterback because it wasn't his turn in the rotation. It's just different. That's just the nature of this sport. So you may end up in a situation where some other team's number one is going against your number three.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And, so you just got to have some things fall your way, too, along the way. So at some point, it's all going to line up. They got close a few years ago. Then you had the game where, Perry Costello was behind the plate in South Carolina and Arkansas, and nobody was happy about it. And in the end, Arkansas ended up losing the game that would have – they'd have won that game, they could have advanced on to the championship round. But nonetheless, they've been close, and I think at some point he just keeps hammering on that door. He's going to get through it.
And maybe at some point, too, college baseball, or at least the NCAA, will be able to change the rule on the scholarship limit that you have for baseball players. That would really – I mean, I don't know if they will, but at some point,
Title IX thing.
Yeah, it just makes it – like Dave Van Horn even talked about at the end of last season. He's just like, listen, it's like we can't – having this limitations on scholarships, it's really hard to try to get guys in here that can, stay as far as your depth goes and the pitching rotation and all of that. It's difficult. It's not just for Arkansas. It's for every team that goes through that difficulty. So, maybe they'll change something like that, too. That'll really help Dave Van Horn and the Razorbacks.
They just help the sport in general.
Yeah.
I mean, not just Arkansas. Yes, it would help Arkansas, but it would help college baseball. But that's a whole other discussion about changing the scholarship limit. But, yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. It would change some things there, but – that's a fun discussion we can have maybe in the summer or sometime, you don't really understand until you get Dave on the show and you'll just tee him up on that question, let him go off on how difficult it is to recruit in baseball when you got the scholarship limitation, and then Major League Baseball may come along and draft one of your guys and pluck him after you've already got him committed. I mean, it's a very difficult sport, and that's what's even more impressive about what he does is he deals with all of that and still puts the product on the field he does every year.
It's really impressive. We talked about
and I know everybody else plays by the same rules and they have the same scholarship situations, but But, it's just it's probably the most difficult sport because your resources are not unlimited. Your scholarships, as you went over, but you're also fighting against, you recruit a guy and then you got to go through the draft and you may have to recruit him again.
Yeah.
You know, and then if he decides to go, then you got to go find somebody else and what's left over. So it just really, it's a difficult situation.
Yeah. There's plenty of challenges, that's for sure.
Yeah. Hey, we're live at Clay Maxey Motorsports. Going to tell you more about that as we move through the morning. And you can save a lot of money right now on Hustler Mowers and on the remaining 2017 Kawasaki side-by-sides as we're live here this morning at Clay Maxey Motorsports, Highway 6265 in Harrison. Hey, great weekend. The weather's, lifting here. We're going to have some sunshine this weekend. The rain has moved out. So a great weekend maybe to head to Gaston's, do some fishing, do some relaxing. Or maybe this isn't the weekend because it's Easter weekend for you. But, you need to make that reservation for that summer getaway, that late spring getaway, that Memorial Day weekend getaway. Or maybe you think, you know what, Kraft, it is Easter. And we're looking for a place to take the family to eat on Easter. Gaston's is there for you for that. So a lot of reasons. Go online to Gaston's.com. You can see their weekend specials in the restaurant, which this Sunday they will have a wonderful Easter brunch buffet ready for you and your family. So if you're looking for a great place to take the family, if you live in Harrison or Mountain Home or anywhere up in the north central part of the state, that'd be a great place to go and enjoy Easter brunch this Sunday is at Gaston's. Call them for details and to make your reservation at 870-431-5202. They'll get you a reservation, a table with a great view overlooking the White River, and they will take great care of you at Gaston's. 870-431-5202, Easter brunch this Sunday at Gaston's White River Resort. Gaston's, a first-class time.
Welcome back into the Morning Rush. John Neighbors, Tommy Kraft, for our guessing live from Clay Maxey Motorsports here in Harrison, Arkansas. Appreciate them having us out. I've been talking a lot about the Razorback baseball team as well as some spring football. And we're also going to talk a little bit about the Final Four with our on-the-spot question of the day presented by Washington Regional.
World-class stroke care available in northwest Arkansas at Washington Regional. Getting immediate medical attention is the key. Sudden weakness, numbness, or problems with walking or speech could be possible signs of a stroke. You need to call 911, then get to Washington Regional. Proud to be the first hospital in Benton, Boone, Carroll, Madison, and Washington counties to be an advanced certification center for primary stroke. Learn more about Washington Regional and how they're providing world-class stroke care at WRegional.com.
Early in the show, we were given our predictions of who we think is going to play for the national championship, but I wanted to also take it a step further, who we think is going to win the national championship at this point. I believe me and Tommy both had Villanova and Loyola Chicago in the finals.
I picked Villanova in my original bracket. It's the only one of the final four I got right.
Well, at least you got one.
I got one of four right, and that's not very good, but I had Villanova winning it all originally. So I'm going to stick with them just because that's what I said 3 weeks ago or whatever. So.
Yeah, it's because I have Villanova and Loyola Chicago. It's like I want Loyola Chicago to win it.
I do. I'm totally with you.
But I don't think they will. As fun of a story as it's been, and it's been tough to pick against them because obviously they're in the Final Four, so every single time that I've wanted to pick against them, I couldn't. But I just feel like once you get to that national championship stage and Jay Wright, who's been there before, won a national championship, the experience of his team and how good they've looked, I think that would just be, at that point, will finally be too much to overcome for Loyola Chicago. So I got to go with Villanova too, I guess.
Nick, is this the moment for Bill Self? If Bill Self doesn't do it here, will he ever win another national championship?
That's a great question. I've looked at his roster or his projected roster for next year. He's probably going to be better next year than he is this year. But when you're talking about how, and I don't want to say easy because, of course, he had to beat Duke just to advance to this round. But now you're here. You're in the Final Four. There's not a Kentucky team that's undefeated or there's not a UConn team that's hot or there's not any of those teams out there that are standing in your way. And I think that this is a great chance for not only Bill Self but Jay Wright as well. If either one of these guys is able to win a championship and they're able to get that second one, now you're in an elite class. Now you jump over the Calipari's and all those other guys out there that just have one, and you put yourself just in a different class, and both of those two guys are going to the Hall of Fame as it is, but I do think that people will view you much differently. And really for Bill Self, it's almost a make or break, because if he's not able to get this win, of course he's not getting fired. He's won 14 Big 12 championships in a row. But if he's not able to get a championship this year, unless one follows up immediately, like next year or in the next 2 or 3 years, then I think it's always going to be that, hey, he was great in conference, but he just couldn't get it done when it came to the big games. Whereas with Jay Wright, not as much pressure. I think he's already solidified himself with winning one national title because he's at Villanova.
It's interesting that you brought up Bill Self, because, yeah, he kind of has to get that monkey off of his back of not going to the national championship, not winning the national championship since 2008. But it's just funny to me that I feel like if Michigan won the national championship, it would be the biggest, like, letdown that you could have, because it's like Villanova is a fun team. They're a great team. They've won it before. They have some power. They have some storylines there. Of course, Kansas, what we mentioned with Bill Self and the history, you know, the blue-blooded program that they are. Loyola Chicago, the Cinderella story. But then if Michigan ended up winning it, I feel like everyone just kind of be like, womp, womp. You know, they just feel great.
Rarely do we end a college football season. I can't ever remember a time where we said, well, the best team didn't win the
right.
national championship.
Right.
I think this is just another year where we probably will be saying the national champion isn't necessarily the best team in college basketball. I mean, it's just the nature of this tournament, the nature of the way you go about deciding who wins this tournament isn't necessarily always the best team in college basketball.
Yeah.
Because it's a one-shot deal. And it's the team that gets hot. It's the team that, I mean, there's just so many factors into it. So if Loyola Chicago wins this thing, or is everybody unanimously in the landscape of college basketball say that, yep, that was the best team in college basketball?
No. But it'll be, people will be excited,
I mean,
for them.
There are a lot of people, and you can make the case, is Duke maybe one of the best teams? I think, I mean, look how they lost that game to Kansas. I mean, Duke could just as easily be in this Final Four as Kansas is.
One little bounce from Grayson Allen on that shot,
right?
You know, and it all
exactly.
changes.
I mean, that's a great example of how you cannot end up in the Final Four. Is that, you know? So I mean, the nature of this sport, you don't always get the best team cutting down the net at the end of this thing.
Yeah, but if it ends up being a Kansas,
sometimes you do.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't.
Yeah, but if it ends up Kansas or Villanova winning it, which I think that we'll all agree that those are the two favorites, so you know, those two are more likely than the other two, then I think you could probably at least make the argument saying, yeah, one of these teams, because they're both one seeds, were the best team in the country. But besides that, yeah, it'll just be, oh, okay, the Cinderella story of Loyola Chicago. And then if Michigan wins it again, it's like, what's the storyline there? Like, what do you say? You know, they were a three seed and they were pretty good, but then they got fired at the right time and there they are. I mean, it just, Michigan doesn't have any draw to me. I'm not interested in seeing Michigan win the national championship.
What's the biggest story from this tournament, guys? Is it Loyola Chicago getting to the Final Four? Is it Virginia getting beat by a 16 seed? What is the big, if you had to take one story away from this tournament, or is it yet to be written?
It depends on who wins the national championship, because if Loyola, if they win the national championship, then it's going to be them. If not, then it's going to be Virginia getting beat by a 16 in the first round.
What would be better, though? Winning the national title yourself or having your rival lose to a 16 seed? If you're like a Virginia Tech fan... What would be better? Yeah, it'd be great to win the national title, but you forever, if you're a Virginia Tech fan right now, you forever get to hold that over Virginia's head and your Virginia buddies.
Yeah.
Now, Arkansas doesn't really have that kind of rival, but if you lived
but if you were a Duke fan, then North Carolina was
exactly.
one seed and lost, then.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess
we don't really relate to that, but
if they won a national championship, I mean, in the end, you're always going to say that's better. However, because it's like Duke and North Carolina, they've won a lot of national championships already.
You know, who won the national championship in 2002?
Wasn't it Maryland?
The point is you don't know.
Yeah.
But you will forever remember who the first number one seed.
Yes, that's right.
get beat by a 16 was.
Yeah, and you will forever will remember, at least the initials of it all, University of Maryland at Baltimore County.
Yeah.
Because of that. Like, as far as the storyline goes.
That may be the best story, though, from the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, I think it will end up being, especially if Loyola Chicago loses in this Final Four. Because some people will remember, like, you remember the George Mason when they made the Final Four, or Butler, or VCU. Like, you kind of remember it. You remember the coaches. You remember a couple of things. And Loyola Chicago, I'm sure you'll remember, I had sister Jean, and they made it to the Final Four, and they lost, but that was a fun story. But like you said, the 16 losing to the 1, that's the no-all, end-all, be-all, because it's never happened before. And we, at least I, felt like it would never happen because of just how many times with this tournament, as crazy as it always is every year, with all the amount of upsets, with all the crazy teams and crazy storylines that go on, the one thing that has never happened was a 1 seed losing to 16. So I just felt like, okay, well, as crazy as it is, if it hasn't happened yet, it probably will never happen.
A 1 seed losing to a 16 seed by 20.
By 20, yeah. And the play-in game team, too. Like the
They didn't have to play.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So, but yeah, it's.
And it was the smoked. The overall 1 seed to the 68 overall seed by 20. Now, what does that say about the committee? Did the committee just totally whiff on both ends of that?
No. I mean, what are you going to do?
Were they really the worst team in the field? And were they really the best team in the field, Virginia?
I feel like they were the best team. I did, at least. I mean, I don't know enough about, you know, UMBC to know if they were the 68.
You can't be the best team in the field if you lose
I agree, but, yeah. I mean... Yeah, you couldn't have not put them as the number 20? One overall seed.
By 20?
Yeah, because it's one of those things, too. If like, what if they played one of these other 16 seeds? Would they have lost?
By 20.
By 20. I don't know. Mm. But that's what makes this tournament so great. And
that's why you must watch.
That's right. And Virginia, of all teams, if it would have been a Duke or North Carolina, like a blue blood program, probably would have been a lot more fun. But I mean, Virginia's not really that type of program.
No, they're not.
But still a great storyline, regardless, though. So, but that is the on-the-spot question of the day presented by Washington Regional, the NCAA Tournament Final Four. And it's Monday night. I guess that's still the thing that they will be the championship game.
Right.
College football, college basketball, both championships games are on Monday nights. What a weird thing.
You don't like that or what?
I mean,
it's always been on Monday.
I know, but I don't like that.
When would you rather have it?
Saturday. At least for college football. College football national championship should be on Saturday, just like where all the games are played. Super Bowl is on Sunday, where all the NFL games are the majority.
I feel like the Super Bowl should be moved to Saturday. So
I'd be fine with that, too. But at least don't have it on a weeknight. Everyone's going to go to work, all that stuff. Mm. I'm not a fan of that, personally. Do you disagree?
I don't disagree. I mean, I don't know how you do the Final Four any differently. But
I'm
with you on the college football championship game. Yeah,
I get that.
I'm with you. It should be on a Saturday. But it's for TV because they know they can get a bigger audience, on a more captive audience on a Monday night versus a Saturday.
Yeah, so like I said, I get it on college basketball. I'm just still not really a big fan of it. So
Hey, being equipped for tomorrow starts today. Get by Williams Tractor in Fayetteville and in Rogers and get the equipment you need. Hay, harvesting, tractor equipment, it's all there for a limited time. You can get some cash back as well at Williams Tractor on the New Holland equipment you will need. Stop by Williams Tractor in Fayetteville or Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas and Rogers today and see how much you can save.
Coming up next, it is the last segment of the day. We'll get into some storylines that I want to bring up with the guys and get their reactions. This is the Morning Rush live from Clay Maxi Motorsports in Harrison.
You've been listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly. And thanks for downloading the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.